No, it's Brian's already, Pastor Brian's already introduced. We are speaking about Advent, and this Advent is about love. We've been singing about it, and I'm going to speak about it. But before I get into the sermon, I'd like to do a little introduction. Tell you something about myself that you may not already know, or you may know, depends how much you know me. Some of you know that I collect watches. Horology is my hobby. I love watches, wristwatches, pocket watches. I love them. In fact, my grandfather was a watchmaker. And after my dad died, I inherited his 1946 Omega. Here it is on my wrist. And it was during my research of this watch that ignited a passion that has always been there. Since I was a boy, I remember looking at watches in shop windows. I don't know what it is, just this little machine that ticks away on your wrist, measuring our existence, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. Time. It's a funny thing. It's a fascinating thing. I find watches fascinating. In fact, I'm double-wristed. I've got another one, just as a backup. And often I wear two watches in the office, and they never stop laughing at me. As Brian will say, why do you wear two watches? Well, I'm testing the time of this one. It's obvious, isn't it? Not to everybody else. So, there we are. So time is interesting, to say the least, because God has placed eternity into the heart of man. We celebrated the first Advent. What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ broke into our time, our space, our experience. And we're looking forward to the day when he comes back again. And on his return, we've been worshipping him this morning. This picture of a stable. We see this little baby Jesus, all meek and mild and wonderful. And he was, because he humbled himself and became a man. And he was born in a stable, a king of glory, born in a stable. But when he comes back again, the Bible describes that day as a great and dreadful day of the Lord. Great if you know him as your Lord and Savior. Dreadful if you don't. But we live in between days, between him coming back, we know him part, we experience in part, and the whole creation is longing, grumbling, it says in the Bible, for his return. But he won't be a baby, meek and mild. He'll come back for judgment on that great and dreadful day. What does it mean? Do you remember when we were children? Do you remember that far back? Time's so funny. The older you get, the stranger it becomes. Do you remember when days lasted for weeks? Weeks lasted for months? And then summers? Long ago, when you were children. I don't know. The older I get, the faster time goes by. The months seem like days, and the years seem like weeks sometimes. As we come into the end of 2015, it really seems like you've only just started. But that's only what it seems like. Yeah. Time is a fascinating thing. It's a very important thing. It's a precious thing. I want to share this morning that time is short. I think the biggest deception that the enemy of our souls throws to us is about time. I remember when God was drawing me unto himself when I was a younger man. And I never had any problems in believing God, who he was. But I wanted to keep him at arm's length. I wanted to enjoy myself. I wanted to do my own thing. Didn't want God interfering with my plans. But when we try to comprehend time with our finite minds and we look to an infinite God that's beyond measure, it's hard to comprehend. Even when we read him about the Lord in his word. As Brian said earlier, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What? Before I was born, he died? So, as I've been speaking about time, I want you to have that in the back of your mind. And don't let that confide you into your understanding. God is bigger. He's beyond it. Can we comprehend his majesty? Can we comprehend his holiness, his power, his glory, his righteousness? Can our finite minds understand God? This infinite God that's beyond measure. The Bible tells us his ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high is his ways from ours. We don't have the RAM capacity to work it out, to comprehend it. We like things in boxes. I was going to show you a photograph of my bookcase. All my theology books, systematic theology. Here, volumes here, volumes there, all stored away neatly in a bookcase to take them out when I want to read them, put them back and close the cupboard. And that's what I do with the Lord. And that's what we sometimes do. We limit him. We want him in dry sea. We want to somehow, I know it's a cliche, put him in a box. There's nothing that can hold him. We can't measure him. We measure everything. We measure speed, velocity, times, volcanoes, hurricanes. Can't measure God. He's beyond. He's beyond measurement. But we have his Holy Spirit to help us comprehend. Revealing, guiding, leading, counseling. I pray as we delve into your word, O Lord, that you would open our minds, that you would open our eyes, that the scales may drop off. Unstop our ears to hear what your Holy Spirit, the living God, says to this church, to this body, in Jesus' name. He, Jesus Christ, always existed. He never came to be. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many times have we read that? 1 John, hundreds, thousands. He was. In the beginning was the Word. It's difficult to comprehend, to understand. He always existed. Jesus just didn't appear. God didn't have sex with Mary, and Jesus appeared. Jesus has always been. Before anything was created, before the beginning, he was there. He is with God. So there's God the Father and God the Son. The Word was with God. It says He is God. The Word was God. It's hard for us to comprehend God. It's very hard, but possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Old Testament, Jesus appeared in a physical form, and he's always described as the angel of the Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters. He appeared to Abraham, he appeared to Jacob, Moses, and Joshua, and Gideon, and many, many others. Some even stated they had seen God. I read some books somewhere and some say, oh no, that was Father that he saw. That was the Father God. Well, Jesus said, nobody has seen the Father except the Son. Nobody has seen the Father except the Son. So before Jesus broke into our time and existence, he was. He even stated it. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And he tried to stone him, because the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. There is no doubt of that statement. And we did the I am statements in John, as a preaching team, a year or two ago. And there's 9 statements, I am. Not 8, 9. One of them says, I am he. In the Greek, there is no he. It's for our own understanding. It says, I am. When Jesus said to Moses, tell him, I am sent you. It was Jesus in the burning bush. Read it. It's there. Verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Whoa. All things. Everything. All means all, and that's all that all means. All things. Seen, unseen, in the cosmos, in this galaxy, heavenly bodies, angels, demons, seraphims, cherubims, he made them all for his glory. Without him, nothing was made. And in him was life. Hallelujah. And that life was the light of all mankind. He is our life, our light, our source of enlightenment, our correction, our thinking, our understanding, the sustainer of life. The very breath in our lungs is the grace of God. The very breath in our lungs. Verse 5. Before I get there, sorry. A light to our path and a lamp to our feet. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness understood it not. Bit of a poor effort. Bit of a poor comparison. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In Genesis 1, 2, and 3, God the Father, God the Spirit, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Jesus, the light of the world, didn't make the sun or the moon until many verses after. He lit the world. Revelation, I am the root and offspring of David. The root, the beginning. The root and offspring of David. What? Yes, that's who he is. And what does it say after that? And the bright, sorry? The bright morning star. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end, and everywhere in between. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness understood it not. I remember bumping into an old friend when I went home many years ago. And I used to be a different man at one time, lived a different life. And I just bumped into this guy I used to drink with. Oh, he said, I heard you got religious. I said, oh, well, you could say that. And I started telling him. And he started to laugh. And he said, oh, have you seen the light? And I said, yes. And he'd laugh no more. He couldn't get away quick enough. But that's the truth of the matter. I saw the light. Have we comprehended it? Have we received it? Because the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us that are being saved, it's the power of God. It was foolishness to this guy who I used to drink with. Couldn't get away fast enough. The smile dropped off his face. He thought I was nuts. I was laughing then. It was me that was laughing. Foolishness. But it's the power of God for us who have been saved. John 3:17. Probably the most famous verse in the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We all have eternal life. It's the destination that's in question. Where we're going to spend it, and who with. See, God loved us so much. The biggest question people ask me, oh yeah, and I see the venom. How come God, this God of yours, this benevolent God, allow all this suffering in the world? What sort of God is that? God who loves. That's who. Because he never wiped us off the face of the earth when we rebelled against him. We are the cause of all the suffering in this world. You and me. And our sin. The rebellion against God. The buck stops with us. But God, rich in mercy and love, did not abandon us in our sin. He came to us. He For God so loved the world that he gave. I didn't know what love was until I became a Christian. Thought I'd been in love so many times. In fact, I was just in lust. Been in lust a long time, many times. See, love is an action. I'm not talking about sex. Lust takes everything. Love gives. It gives everything. That's the difference. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God demonstrated that love while he died for us. That's a crossroads, my friends. It's where the rubber hits the road. I was in a prison cell when I came to that crossroads. God was chasing me for years and years, but I kept him so far away that little by little he was taking things away to get my attention. But I was a bit like McFly. If you're not from the 80s, you won't remember that. Back to the Future movie, but showing my age now. Crossroads. What do we do with this light? What do we do with this Jesus? The very reason that we have a choice. God didn't make us like robots because he loved us. And as Adam and Eve in the garden had a choice, he didn't say to them, by the way, you can't eat from this tree. That we always quote. He said, you may eat from all these trees, but not from this one. What do we do with Jesus? For us who've received him, been a Christian a long time, amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
How far does that light penetrate? Where do you go? What do you do? When you check your incomes and outgoings at the end of the month, where do you spend your money? Do we plateau out, say all the right things, been around church long enough, know everything what to say, but walking around the brick wall like a bubble around us, frightened, hurt, that we let anybody so close, especially expats when we're traveling all around the world. Some people come and go only for a short period of time. The Bible tells us to guard your heart, it's the wellspring of life. But we put up walls, we put up barriers. Through fear, through hurt, through pain, through bad experience. But the Lord's light penetrates every barrier, every smoke screen, even the mirrors. It goes straight through you. His word divides soul, spirit, bone, and marrow. And meets us where we're at. I don't know, pick that torch up, put them in my pocket, my car keys. Does that light permeate our darkness, our struggles, and closed doors and fantasies when we drift away? Thank you who made the eyes doesn't see, create the ears doesn't hear. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come in the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. There it is. That was me. Whoa. Don't come any closer. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar. He's the best liar. Jesus said, when he speaks, he lies. That is his tongue. He's the father of all lies. And he whispers to us, and he promises things, tempts us. It's hard to comprehend that God invented sex for something to be enjoyed in marriage. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. The devil is a counterfeit. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a thief. John 1, 12, 13. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he, Jesus now, gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. Just in time. That's what I call this sermon. Jesus, I trust. Jesus, I trust. I believe. I receive. So the conclusion of the matter, God is love, Jesus is God. Once that fact has permeated in our understanding, we've received it and comprehended it, I'll tell you something for sure, you'll never ever be the same again. Once that drops from your head into your heart, before Abraham was, I am. God demonstrated his love for us. Did not abandon us. He made a way for us. He took our punishment upon himself. And that light still shines. Still shines. Shining now. But there'll be a day when it stops shining, that great and dreadful day, when he comes back for his own, and we'll all stand before him with this question: what did you do with the light? What did you do with Jesus? Did we receive him or reject him? I implore you, I beseech you, don't delay. Don't believe the lie that you have a lot of time. This year, my sister passed away last January. She'd just gone 52. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your light. We thank you that you didn't abandon us in our sin. That while I was still a sinner, you died for me. You broke in my experience, my time, and you pulled me out of the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock. You gave me a firm place to stand. And I praise you, O Lord. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that at that crossroads in their life, that you would lead, guide, comfort, prod, and draw people to yourself. And I pray for us that already know you, that we wouldn't limit your light. We wouldn't try to decompartmentalize you, put you in a box and take you out of a box. We repent of our small-mindedness. Lord, there's so much more. And until you come back again, we're your hands, we're your eyes, we're your feet, we're your wallet. Use us. May we say on that great and dreadful day, enter into my rest, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.